This is the Abundance Mercy Podcast. Please open up your hearts to receive from the Lord.
You are going to raise your voice once again and say, Father, speak your word to me today. In the name of Jesus, can you use the same strength and say, Father, speak your word to me today, Lord. The Bible says he sent his word and he delivered them from every destruction. Can you cry to God and say, Father, speak your word to me this morning? I don't just want to be a hearer, Lord. I want to be a doer, Lord. The Bible tells us, it says, this word I speak to you, their spirit and their life. Oh, Lord, make me sensitive this morning, Lord. Speak your word to me. Speak your word to me. Can someone insist? Masu telebebeshka. We come against every form of distraction. Oh, Lord, speak your word. Speak your word. Ekusu telembrendeke sutalababai. Blessed be your name, O God. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we want to bless you. Thank you because you are the Lord. Thank you because you never fail. When you speak, it is done. You mean what you say, and you say what you mean. You gave us your word, even from the start of this year. That is our year of manifesting the glory. Father, we pray, O Lord, even as we have prayed this morning, let every glory, let it begin to manifest in the name of Jesus. Speak to us this morning, Lord. And let our hearts and our countenance be illuminated. Blessed be your name, O God. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Can we open our scriptures to the book of Revelations 12, verses 9 to 11? It says, and the great dragon that was cast out, that old serpent, devil, and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. This is the testimony. It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. From that scripture, if you take it from verse 1, it uncovers the war that happened in heaven. And in this war, you know, Satan was cast down by Archangel Michael. But the focus today, we are focusing on discerning the subtle operations of Satan, okay, and how to walk in victory. If you look at our key text this morning, it's broken down into three parts. Verse 9 describes Satan and his operations. We have one Satan, but it's manifesting in four dimensions. It said, Satan, the devil, the great dragon, and what? The old serpent. And the second thing we can see in that scripture, in verse 10, talking about the mission and the operation of Satan. And the third is talking about how we can prevail. So to proceed, there are a few things we need to learn. The first thing we'll learn is we need to understand why did the Bible call the devil the great dragon? Why did the Bible call devil the old serpent? The answer is there. If you look at that scripture again, it told us the operation of Satan. It tells us that Satan has come to deceive. Now, if you look at the definition of dragon, dragon is a serpentine creature that spits out fire and works with great intelligence. So the reason why the Bible describing Satan as great dragon is because it's a serpentine spirit and he spits fire to be able to consume and to destroy. That is why we can see that the same devil will operate in different dimensions. It operates as a dragon. If you look at Ezekiel 29 verse 3, it talks about the dimension of the dragon. He's rebellious and also he consumes. Now, going to the serpentine, you know, the old serpent. The reason why the Bible describes him as a serpent, we need to go back to Genesis 3, when he deceived Adam and Eve. So he's a serpent because he's very cunning. Now, let's go to John 10, verse 10. Let's look at the first part. It says, the thief cometh to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The dimension of Satan operating as a dragon is to consume. Remember, the dragon spits out fire to destroy. And the aspect of the deception, serpentine aspect, is to steal and to destroy. So that's why John 10:10, the first part, summarizes the mission of the devil. And if you look at our key text again, Revelation 9:6, it tells us that Satan was cast down into the earth with his angels. So those angels are demonic spirits by which the devil actualized his plans. That's why it is possible for you to see someone murdering someone in Liverpool and someone in Brazil doing the same thing. These are carried out by fallen angels that fell with the devil. Now that we understand the characteristics of the devil, the next thing to look at is we need to understand his assignment. Can we go to Revelation 12, verse 10? It says, now is come salvation, strength, the kingdom of our God, and the power of Christ. Why? It says, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down. So the reason why the devil operates can be quantified in these four things. One, to destroy the salvation. Two, to destroy your strength. Three, to destroy the kingdom of our God. And the fourth thing is to destroy the power of the Christ. So what this simply means is that the devil will fight these four things. So when the devil accuses you before God, he's trying to fight those four things: your salvation, your strength, the kingdom of God, and the power of Christ. Let's look at a quick example. In the 80s, Liverpool was a very deprived area. And the reason why Liverpool was a very deprived area was because of huge crime, poverty, all over the place. And it was not until government started to take steps, bringing huge security, trying to revive the economy, that Liverpool began to open up. And that is what we have today. So this, it can be equated to that scripture. It was not until the devil was cast out that that word came forth. That means as long as the devil keeps accusing you before God, there won't be salvation. There won't be strength. There won't be the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ. We are going to look at this. How does the devil operate to attack these four things? The first thing is the condemnation of the work of salvation. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. It says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, what? A new creature. All things are what? Passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So what the devil uses from our key text, he uses deception, he uses the power of accusation. Now, the Bible is telling us here, it says, if any man be in Christ, when you accept Christ, all things are what? Passed away. And all things have become new. It doesn't matter what you have done in the past. It doesn't matter if you have murdered. It doesn't matter if you have been walking in a fornication. Once you repent and you give your life to Christ and you've restituted, the Bible told us that all things are passed away. But the ministry of the devil is to roll out the exact opposite through the power of accusation. So what the devil tries to do, tries to condemn the works of salvation. He tries to convince you so that you can be able to doubt the redemption that you have received. He tries to cause you, you know, to think about your errors than the finished work of Christ. You know, John 19:30, the Bible told us that it is finished. So once you are saved, it doesn't matter what you have done. What the scripture is telling us that is a new beginning for you. But the devil tried to bring about accusation. So maybe you are here. The devil has been bombarding your life with thoughts, things you have done in the past. We need to discern. The work of the devil is the accuser of the brethren. And today, there will be liberation for you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Beloved, there are many wonders of salvation. One of them is we have access to the holiest of holiest. Hebrews 4:16. We have access to the mercy seat. So when you are in Christ, what you need to do is to walk by the Spirit and to know that indeed you have access. You come boldly to the throne of grace. It doesn't matter what you have done. When you are in Christ, one of the wonders is that you have access to the holiest of the holiest. There was a man of God. This man of God, very popular man of God, committed adultery and he repented. But guess what? This man committed suicide because he wrote a note. And he says he couldn't just cope with the guilt. And he decided to end it all. That is the work of the accuser. Once you have given your life to Christ and you are genuinely saved, no power of guilt, you know, has influence over you. So maybe you are here this morning and, you know, you have been battling with guilt, things you have done. Maybe it might be a sign that you need to rededicate your life. But maybe you need to key into the finished work of Christ. If any man being Christ is a new creature and all things are what? Passed away. That will be our experience this morning in the name of Jesus. Another benefit of salvation, which the devil will try to fight, is sanctification. If you read the book of 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it's talking about God preserving us even to the end. So when the devil, when you give your life to Christ and you are not cautious, the devil will try to battle that salvation so that you can't be able to get to the level of sanctification. Beloved, salvation also means security. Salvation means security. Look at the story of Job. Job 1 verse 9 to 10. It tells us that the devil accused Job for God. And he's saying, you have built an edge around Job. Let me take these things and see if it won't depart from you. So sometimes your salvation can also mean the blessing that God has given to you. So you must ensure that you are not taken over by the spirit of lust. You are not taken over by the spirit of materialism. But despite the blessing that God has given to you, make sure that you have the place for God and God has a place in your life. True that the accuser will not be able to get access into your life in the mighty name of Jesus. This is the good news. The good news is that there's a way out. Let's go back to that key text again. Revelation 12 verse 11. You see three things we need to do to prevail over the accuser. It says, they overcame him by what? The first thing, I want a response from you. They overcame him by what? The blood of the Lamb. Second thing, what? Their testimonies. And the third thing, they loved not their lives, you know, unto death. I don't know who this word is coming for this morning. God is saying, if you can hang on to these three things. First thing, you have overcome by the blood. Hebrews 12 verse 24. It tells us that the blood of Jesus speaks better things than the blood of Abel. So you have overcome. It doesn't matter the covenant. Look at that. It says, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. You're under a new covenant. And to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. So when the accuser comes, when he brings about, try to bring about the flashes of old, those sins you have committed, you speak the blood of Jesus to nullify his workings in your life. The second thing is by the word of their testimony. Beloved, we need to understand that salvation is comprehensive. Romans 8, 1 to 2. There's no condemnation in salvation. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them in Christ who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. So when you have Christ and you live by the Spirit, you prevail over the power of the devil. Now, we need to understand that it is not once saved, forever saved. But the scripture is telling us here. It says we need to walk by the Spirit. It's not just saying that you are free. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. It's another thing to be saved. There's another thing to work by the Spirit. That helps you to stay conscious of the spirit of accusation and deception. The third thing we need to look at. It says they love not their lives to them. That what that simply means is that you need to die to self. If you are still living by your own strength, if you are still living by your own perception, you are bound to the workings of the devil. It says they love not their lives unto death. That can be interpreted also as living and dying to self. You are not walking by your own power. You are not walking by your own intellect, but you are subject to the leading of the Holy Spirit. So when the accusation comes, it is not you that is living. When the deception comes, it is not you that is living. Why? Because you have died to self. Let's look at Romans 6 verse 11. It says, likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So it is important that we walk by the Spirit. It is no longer you that is living. You are living by the power of Christ in you. The second thing we quickly look at is the strength. And strength can be equated as our faith. The strength of every believer is your faith you have in Christ. So the devil will try to attack your faith, that trust that you have in God. Maybe you have been trusting God for your health. Maybe you have been trusting God for things that seems to be gigantic. What the devil does is to attack that your faith. You are the same one going to church. You are the same one doing this. What can you show for it? So the devil will try as much as possible to attack your faith. Ephesians 2:8 says, but for by grace you have been saved through faith. It is faith, beloved, that activates the finished work of Christ. It is that faith that you have, and that is what equates to strength. The devil, remember our key text that tells us that the accuser of the brethren will try to attack that faith that you have. But there's a good news. What you need to do to counter that is the word of God. And that again takes us to Revelation 12 verse 11. It says they overcame him by the testimony. What is that testimony that you have? What is the testimony of your salvation? What is the testimony of your faith? Beloved, when the accuser comes and tries to attack your faith, and one way that the devil does to attack your faith is to twist the scripture. Sometimes the word God has given to you, the devil can come and twist it for you. Remember what he did with Adam and Eve. If you look at Genesis 3 verse 1, it says, did God really say? So it works. Remember the serpentine spirit we talk about, and the dragon is a very cunning creature that is deceptive. So did God really say? So that is why we need, for us to stay abreast in our faith, we need to study the word of God. It is not enough to live by the Spirit or to be saved. We also need to live by the word of God. And the final thing, to bring it together because of time, is to attack the power of the Christ and the kingdom of God. The power of the Christ. The Christ means the center power, the office of the Christ, the anointed one. Look at that key text again. Now is come salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. So the devil will try to fight the power of his Christ, the power of the kingdom of God. And how does he do that? He uses the power of deception. And that's the last thing we are going to talk about. Can we go quickly to the book of Acts 16, 16 to about 25? It tells us about a certain damsel. And that is why what you can see all over the social media today, all over the Christendom, many so-called preachers now use the power of deception. Why? Because they know that people need miracles. People need, you can tell me my future. And we have soothsayers, even in Liverpool. So this damsel was used by a cartel to deceive the entire city. This lady will tell you the details of your life. These are powers of deception. Because the devil knows that he has a short time. So he uses that deception to accuse even the brethren. He uses the power of deception because he knows that you are desperate for a miracle. He knows that you are desperate to know your future. He uses the power of deception even in our age and time. But there's a solution. The first thing we need to do, again, is to go back to that Revelation 12 verse 11. It tells us that it overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. We need to be grounded in the word of God. When you are grounded, remember the scripture tells us in Acts 17 verse 11, it talks about the Berean Christian. After a church service like this, they go back home, they search the scripture, confirming what has been taught. Failure to do that will mean that we fall to the power of deception, and that will not be our lot in the mighty name of Jesus. So in that Acts 16, this lady was used to deceive the people, but thank God for Apollos and Silas. And that takes us to a key point we need to have. Our eyes of understanding must be open so that we can be able to discern the power of deception. God can take us to a level. When someone speaks, you know this is deception. When someone speaks, you know this can be from God. Beloved, we need to be grounded because we are in the end time, and failure to do that will mean that we fall to the power of deception, and that will not be our portion in the name of Jesus. Finally, deception leads to false accusation. If you look at that Acts 16 from about 22 to about 24, after Paul and Silas shut down that damn cell, what was the response of the cartel? They accused Paul and Silas, took them to the magistrate, stripped them naked, beat them, disgraced them. So I'm trying to let us see that the power of deception works with the power of accusation. In these end times, if you are going to be standing for revival, if you and I are going to be active in this end time race, beloved, there will be accusation. And finally, let's look at this scripture even as we pray. Luke 2:35, because of time. It says, yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thought of many hearts may be revealed. Now, the summary of this is that when Christ was to be birthed, Simeon, a prophet, prophesied about the birth of Christ. He talked about the good things. Christ will be its savior for Israel. 35, he now said, yea, a sword shall pierce through your heart. It means that Christ will go through persecution. There's going to be accusation. If you are going to be standing for revival in this end time, beloved, we are closing with that. If you are going to be standing against the power of darkness, the power of deception, the power of accusation, a sword will pierce through your heart, but you need to be grounded. So to summarize this, for us to be able to prevail over the power of deception, for us to be able to prevail over the accuser of the brethren, those three things are important. The blood of Jesus, the word of the testimony, and you must be able to die to self, and therein you will prevail. Can we rise on our feet this morning? Can you hold a neighbor and pray this morning? Beloved, we are in the end times. We have read the word. There are deception, accusations. If you are going to be standing in this end time, beloved, you must be ready. A sword will pierce through your heart. There will be so many things ongoing, but you must be able to stand. Can you tell God this morning and say, Father, wake me up to the reality of your kingdom, your spirit, and the power to prevail. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, wake me up this morning. Wake me up, Lord. I will not fall to the power of deception. I will not fall to the power of the accuser. Wake me up, Lord. Wake me up, Lord. I must use, oh Lord, the equipment to prevail, the blood of Jesus, the word of the testimony, and I must be able to die, oh Lord, to self. Wake me up, Lord. Wake me up, Lord. In the name of Jesus, wake me up. Wake me up, Lord. Blessed be your name, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray. Finally, we are going to pray in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5. It says, casting down every imagination. Peradventure, you are here. You are still nursing those things you have done. Two things. It's either you are not genuinely saved or you are not walking by the Spirit. You are going to cry to God finally and pray for your neighbor and say, Father, we nullify every negative suggestion in the mind in the name of Jesus. Can you pray for your neighbor? Father, I nullify, Lord. We prevail by the blood. We nullify.
This was brought to you by the Abundant Mercy Podcast. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on Instagram. God bless you.